Now, you see, ladies and gentlemen, there is someone going around this country impersonating me. He's doing my gestures, and he's using my lines. Do not ask what this country can do for you. That's one of my original lines.
This is Richard. How I love to be president next time.
Hurricane Hugo doing that damage down there, going round and round, doing that hurricane thing down there. A lot of damage. Natural disaster, not my fault.
Now, you know, I have learned a lot since I moved into the White House. Did you all know that when you're president of the United States, you can get an Egg McMuffin after 10:30 in the morning? Try that sometime.
Members of the White House Correspondents Association, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, here I am.
I'm about to go out for my interview with Jimmy Fallon. I'll call you back after I comb my hair. Talk to you in 3 hours. Wow, I look fantastic.
For those younger children that are out there, those are people that are impressionists. Impressionist is someone who imitates or copies the behavior or actions of another. And many have entertained the presidents that we have, or impersonated the presidents that we have had over the years. And for them to do it, I love to watch impressionists. And for them to imitate whichever character they're looking at, it takes a lot of time and effort and study, and they look at the person's life to try to figure out their mannerisms. And in a real way, that is what God has called us to be, is to be imitators of Him. And we're going to see that today. So let me encourage you to open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, we're back in our study in Ephesians. And this section, this whole section that we have been going through, very, very rich. It is a section that we have chosen to go through very slowly, because in each of these different segments, every one of these passages, it's just loaded with great things that it's so easy to pass over on. And so what I want to do is, we're going to be studying, looking at Ephesians 5:1, but what I want to do is back up into chapter 4 and then just read some of the context, so we're making sure that we deal with this in the light of its context. So if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read, starting in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 31 to chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as it is proper for God's saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that anyone who practices immorality or impurity, or who is a coveter, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Father, I pray that we would understand what it means for us to be imitators of God as beloved children. So bless our time as we open your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, so easy to just skip right through this passage in this segment. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And so what I want to do is just look at five things that I've dug out and have seen in this verse and really talk about it. Talk about it in its entirety. First thing is this. Why would we want to be imitators of God? Well, I mean, why would that be? We're just trying to make it through life, and now you want me to be like God? How? Not only how, but why? I mean, I don't even get it. And yet, the key phrase is, as beloved children. See, I'm of the opinion that we imitate people. We all do. You all, every one of you here today, there is someone that you have looked at that you modeled your life over, whether you recognize it or not. The way you dress, the things you do, the teams you follow, even the profession that you're in, someone had impacted you, and you kind of imitate that. You mimic, and that's not bad. It can be bad. It depends on what we're imitating. But I do think that. And this is critical because if we don't get as beloved children why we're to imitate God, I really do think that this is a prerequisite to really understanding this message. If you're here today and you're going to understand what I say in the rest of this message, it's important to know this beginning fundamental part. And that is, we imitate God because we're his children. What does that mean, that we're his children? Children will imitate their parents, by the way. They will, for good or for evil. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But why? What has Christ done for us? It's the gospel. And I want to try to make this crystal clear for all of us here, because I do think every now and then we need to be reminded of the gospel, of what Christ has done to us. Or done for us, I should say. Why do we need a Savior? The absolute essential reality is we have all sinned and we have fallen short of God's glory. No one here today is perfect. We're not. We have sinned. And a couple weeks ago, we were talking about forgiveness and to understand what the depth of our forgiveness. If one page of paper represents $148,000 worth of sin debt, you and I have committed over, what is that, $3.7 billion of debt of sin to an infinitely holy God. And so when we talked about forgiveness, we said that when someone sins against you, which is basically 1/34 of a page of paper, we forgive because God has forgiven us. And we talked about that whole thing. But if you don't understand that I have sinned against a God who is perfect and holy and just, and we have sinned against his word, we have sinned against who he is, and the wages of sin is death. Not only is it separation from God, but it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And there is heaven and there is hell. And a lot of people think, well, you know what? I'm going to be good, I'm going to be a moral person, and I am going to work my way into heaven. But we can never repay that debt by our good deeds. And so we understand what Christ did. Jesus came to bridge the gap. He came to pay for all of our sins, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did. He paid it all. And when we come to the place where we, by faith alone in Christ alone, cross over that bridge, surrender our lives to him. John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him that sent me has eternal life. You will not be condemned, but you cross over from death unto life. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And as his children, knowing that we have been forgiven so much, we want to be like him. We want to honor him. We want to live for his glory. He is worthy of all of our praise. And I just need to say this right now. If you're here today and you say, yeah, I get what Jesus has done. That's great. He forgave me of my sins, but I'm going to live for me. You don't understand what he's done for you. You really don't. And I would beg you, because if you don't understand the greatness of what he has done for us, you're not going to be like him. You're not. And we all are going to be the better for his glory if we imitate what he has called us to do and to be. In John chapter 8, verse 47, here's what Jesus said. Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So that's my warning for today. If you're like going, Pastor Matt, get over with this. I got the weekend to go to. I give that as a warning because I see it all the time. People come to church, they punch their church ticket, and then they leave, and there is no transformation. And real believers in Jesus not only know the massive debt that we have been forgiven, but the joy of serving the God of the universe and wanting to be like him. So, next point, the power to be imitators of God. Because I know what I think when I say this, be imitators of God. How can I do that? I am not perfect. I can't do it, right? None of us can. And yet, he does not call us to do something that he has not given us the power to do. And so, back in Ephesians chapter 1, we studied, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The moment you, by faith in Christ, turned, repented, gave your life to him, crossed over that bridge, God the Holy Spirit came to live within you, like the hand inside the glove, and he is the power to help you change. He is the one that changes the price tags. He is the one that not only gives us new life, but it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Christ dwells in you. And so it says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the power is there. You have the power of God to be godlike, to be imitators of God. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's the power. Don't sit there and say, I can't do it. You're right, you can't. But what does the scripture say? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So, we got this big goal. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. That's what we do. Now, the aim of imitation. What do we want to do? We want to be like God, but we ask the question, what is God like? We're going to look a little bit at the attributes of God, which is trying to understand who God is, what God is like, what kind of God is he? And an attribute of God is something that is true about him. And while fully comprehending, it's impossible for us to fully comprehend all of who God is, God does make himself known to us in different ways. He reveals himself to us in creation and through the word of God so we can be like him. Theologians have used two phrases that talk about the attributes of God, and they're in your notes. The one phrase talks about incommunicable attributes and communicable attributes. And the incommunicable attributes are those characteristics, those attributes that God cannot share with us. So there are certain things that you can't do that God is. In other words, let me just give you a few of them. Omnipotent, which means that he is all-powerful. He can do anything that he pleases, that pleases him, but his actions are always in accord with the rest of his character. God is that. We can't be that. God is omnipresent, which means that he is present everywhere. That does not mean that God is in everything, but he is present everywhere. The scripture says in Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence, and where can I flee? Where can I flee from you? When I go to the depths, you are there. When I make my bed here, you're there. So he is omnipresent, and though some of you moms and dads think you are, you're not. We cannot be like God in that. God is omniscient, means he is all-knowing. He knows the past, present, and future, even what we are thinking at any given time. He knows. He says, I know what you're thinking. I mean, he knew the thoughts of men. We can't do that. I mean, we may say to our spouse, I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. You really don't. You might have an idea, and sometimes you're right. But, I mean, God's right 100% of the time, and those are things that we are not able to do. God is sovereign, meaning that he is supreme over all this creation put together, whether knowingly and unknowingly, cannot thwart the purposes of God. He works all things according to the purpose of his will. We can't do that. We can't. We are not like that. And so there are other things that are incommunicable, hard to say, attributes. We're not eternal. God is. God is infinite. He is immutable, which means he doesn't change. He's self-existent. I mean, and I could go on and on and on. But there are things that God does share. There are communicable attributes, just like there's communicable diseases, which means you can share them. Well, these are things that God does share with us, and human beings can, at least to some degree, do these things. And the reason that we can do them is because you and I are made in the image of God. We are like God, and from this standpoint, that we are made in his image, that we are unlike any of his created order. You're not going to go home today and have a conversation with your dog about the message that you're hearing right now. You're not. The dog's just going to lick his paws and look at you. I mean, that's all it's going to do. Maybe cuddle into your lap, and that's great. But we are distinct. We are like God in ways that nothing else in all creation is. And so he exhorts us to be like him. And in these ways, and his word's pretty clear on these things. So let's look at some of these communicable attributes. These are, if we say we want to be like God, here is what he's saying. Be like him in certain areas. So we are to love like God. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, anyone who does not love God does not know God. Everyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In the passage that Pastor Jason's going to look at next week, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. That's this week, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So our love, we're to be the kind of people, we're to have God's love. As his spirit comes to live within us, we're to go into a lost and dying world, and we're to be his hands and feet. We are to be the people that are Christ-like out there. And so he has a lot to say about love. He tells us to love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he tells us, you go do that, because that's what I am, and I tell you to do this. He also gives us things that he tells us not to love. He's very clear. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There are the things that we can love in the wrong way. So it's not, you know, everyone says love is all you need. No, I mean, you need God, who is love, but he has many other attributes. So that's just one thing. We're to be people who love and genuinely love. When we love, we're like him. Another communicable attribute is we are called to be holy. Now, God is holy, 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 but it says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who is called you is holy, so God is holy, you also be holy in how much of your conduct? In all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy as I am holy. So yes, positionally in Christ, we have the imputed righteousness of Christ. We are holy in him. But practically, it says, in all your conduct, you are to live a way that is pure and holy. And we're going to talk about that more in the weeks to come, as it's in the passage. And again, we can never be perfectly like God, but we as his believers, those that imitate him, we're to be holy. He tells us to forgive. In 4:32, it says, forgiving one another as in Christ God forgave you. So we're to forgive. We're to be like him in that. We spent 4 weeks talking about forgiveness. We're to be merciful. Luke 6:36 says, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So we are to extend mercy to people. That's what, when we are imitators of God, that's what we do. We are called to have goodness, to be good. It says in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So yes, he's good. But Galatians 6:9, let no one grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not give up. So we are called to be like him and to show goodness. Who else is going to do that in the world? I mean, we're the ones that know him. We're the ones that imitate him. The unbelieving world's not going to do it. That's why I'm pleading with you. I was thinking about this. It's like, this is a difficult message for everyone to hear. But as his followers, those who have crossed over that bridge, who else is going to do it? And in the people even that come to Cross Point, the difference that we make is not the staff, it's you, all of us, going out into a dark world and being like God in these things. And there's so many more of these. God is a faithful and without inequity, a just and upright is he. And that's what we're called to be like. We are called to be people of truth. He's the only true God, and we are to be those that speak the truth. We're to speak the truth in love. And so I could go on and on. There's many more, but you want to know, what is God like? You get into his word. You get into his word, and you learn more of who he is. And so let's look at this process of becoming imitators of God. There's some of you that are brand new Christians. You've just crossed over that bridge. You have given your life to Jesus, and you're thinking, man, there's so much of the old Matt that's out there. How can I change? Well, it's like those impressionists. If you look, how do they do it? They study the mannerism. So they look at, they watch videotape. They watch this, whoever they're going to imitate, they watch and they watch, and then they practice. And that's basically what we're called to do. We are called to be those that walk with him. I was reading in Table Talk magazine, and there was an article that says, the goal of every Christian is to become like Christ. This is not just for pastors. This is for you. And it's like, I know, because I talk to people, they say, well, I'm not super spiritual like you. It's like, stop. There is no difference between you or I. We have all of the same Holy Spirit. Yes, I might have more years in Jesus than you, but we all have to walk with him. And we all have to put things to death. This is not a easy 3 steps to being like God. You're going to be like him in 1 week. This is a lifelong process for every one of us. But it's a glorious one that is filled with failure, and we fall forward and we repent and we move forward because we want to be like him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, whoever says he abides in me ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So if you say, yes, I'm a Christian, then you ought to walk the way he walked. And you say, ugh, that's so hard. Yes, but when you abide in him and you walk with him, he does help us. And we take in his word. This word, I say to people all the time, don't think you're going to grow when you just come to a Sunday morning sermon. That's not enough. You got to have your nose in God's word, taken in his word every day in some way, shape, or form. We are blessed. You can listen to great things. You can put it on the TV, radio, your phone. You can take it in. But that's how we grow. That's how we become imitators of God. Francis Chan has a great illustration. He said, I've always wanted to be a Navy SEAL. Because that's like the coolest. You know, you get the cool guns, and you get the cool training, and there's a lot of honor, and there's a lot of things that go along with being a Navy SEAL. They're highly respected. He said, but I think I want to pass all of the boot camp and the BUDS training that they go through, of which hardly anyone makes it through. Like 1% of the people who try to become a Navy SEAL. And almost everyone who goes into the Navy, they say, a lot of them say, yeah, I'm going to try for this. And they flunk out somewhere along the way. Only 1% make it. And as believers, you know, we're called to be Christ-like. And yet, the difference between becoming a Navy SEAL and being an imitator of God is we, through his power, not only can do it, we're called to do it. He's given us the power to do it. And so there is a part where we have our responsibility, but God's right there to help us. And he says, grow, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever, and now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So he will help you to do it. And I do know this. People say, I don't know. I don't think I could do that. Well, you know what happens? You walk with Jesus. You strive to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And before you know it, you're acting like him. Before you know it, you're doing it. And anyone here, even the person with the lowest IQ, anyone can do it if you will surrender and submit to the Lord, because God lives within you to help you do it. And so when the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. This is part of the reason why we don't really want to do it. We don't want to lay aside the weight and the sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If you look to Jesus and you lay aside the sin and you grow in him, you know what you're going to find? You're going to be like Jesus. And when you sin, and we all do, we repent and we go forward and we grow and we are like him. One last thing that I want us to see, and this one is another mind-boggling thing. The examples of imitators of God. Paul says this, I urge you then, be imitators of me. And then he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul was basically saying to those that were following, follow me as I follow Jesus. And I'm here to say, though that is a bold statement, every believer in Jesus should be able, even in time, but even the newer believers, even the younger ones, Paul said to Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believer in love and truth and faith and purity. So this is not just something for the super spiritual. This is something that we all should strive for. You should be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. I have said to my kids, follow me as I follow Jesus. Now, when I'm an idiot and I don't follow Jesus, don't follow me. I mean, we're not claiming perfection in this, but we are saying, even in our falling and our repenting and our confessing our sin to the Lord, that is the example we are called to be. And by the way, this world needs, your family needs. Paul said in Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is what God has called us to be as his children. And the reason I want to take 1 week and look at this is it's so easy to just say, you know, come to church and say, what's in it for me? And I get, sometimes you go through weeks and you have hard weeks, but God has called you to live for his glory. And he will get you through your circumstance, but it's more than just your circumstance. He wants to use you to be a witness for him, to be Christ-like, to be able to say to people who are watching you, follow me as I follow Jesus, and they will be humbled. One of the residual effects of Don Gallett's passing, is I continue to hear stories. And people say stuff like, wow. Now, I knew Don very well. Don was that boy was on the struggle bus just like me, just like you. But when he would fail, he tried to fail forward. And I remember just talking with Sandy afterwards, after his funeral, that he would have been so humbled and honored to hear the kind things that people have said, because he did walk through life sometimes, as he would say, like a bull in a china shop. And yet even a bull in a china shop can set an example and be an impact for God's glory. So I say to us, and by the way, you are an example. Every one of you are some kind of example. You're either a good one or a bad one. You're either a wimpy, whining one, or you're a humble, failing forward for the glory of God follower of Jesus. So let's just end with a couple of questions. In light of that, who's following you, and what are they seeing? And the great thing is, may this be the day that God says to you, you know what? Lay aside all the cares of the world. Put your eyes on Jesus. Yes, things have gone wrong in your life. I get it. But God, who is absolutely sovereign, is taking those and is working all things together for good for those that love him, who are called according to his purpose. And you younger ones that are back from college, or you're just getting off school, God's got a plan for your life. And don't think that, oh, I got to wait till I'm 25 or 30 and then grow up. No, God, don't let anyone despise your youth, but you set an example for the believer in faith, love, purity, godliness. Because the church and the world desperately needs believers to be Christ-like, to walk in holiness, to be different. To when you fail forward, to walk together in love with one another, and to be different. It is so easy to go the way of the world. Unfortunately, I get to see the good things and I get to see the bad things. I see when the people walk away. And when they walk away, it's one of two things. They're either the prodigal who's walking away, and the Lord's going to deal with them. Or Scripture says they went out from us, but they were not of us. They're winning out, they're going out just proved that they were not one of us. God knows everyone's heart. But may we look at this day and say, you know what? I want to be like him. I want to know him. And the way you know him is to put your eyes on him, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. I'm just going to ask us to bow our heads and I want you just to really look at those questions and just ponder. Who's following you? What are they seeing? And maybe even throw in there, am I being an imitator of God? Father, I come before you, and because you, Lord, are all-knowing, Lord, before a word is on our tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You know what's going on in our lives. So I pray for everyone that walks through this door, that's here right now, hearing these words, that you, Lord, would move in their hearts. Maybe they have never come to the place where they have surrendered their lives to you. Maybe they have never, by faith alone and Christ alone, turned and said, Lord, I want to follow you. May this be the day of salvation for them, that they would desire to be like Christ, to walk with him, to be an ambassador, to be an example, representative. Lord, I pray that you would do that today in someone's life. And for the ones that are here that do know you, but they live in a mediocre way where they're really not concerned about being your witnesses, being imitators of God, letting their light shine. Lord, I pray that you would convict us, that we would see that you have given good works for us to do in advance, that we would be your lights and we would be your representatives, that we would be so Christ-like that people would look at us and see something different in us, not for our praise, but for your glory. So, Lord, whether it is a young person that is here, that is hearing these words, Lord, let them know that they, as they walk with you through your power, can make a difference, even in their own families. May we understand that we have example, that there are people who are following us, and I pray what they see would bring you glory, Lord, because that's all that does matter. So, Father, I do your work. I just pray that you would do your work. And I just want to ask this question as we close in prayer. If you're here today and you say something needs to change, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I am going to ask you, make that choice to surrender all to King Jesus. Do it now. Father, do your work in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more question. What do we want people to remember us by? A young lady named Natasha Perez wrote a song, and that's what she's asking in this song. When the music fades into the past, and my days of life are through, what will be remembered of where I've come when say I love my family, that I was a faithful friend, that I live to tell of God's own Son. When all is said, see that hour when I hear that trumpet sound, and I'll rise to see my Savior's face, see him smile and say, well done. You can forget my name, the songs I've sung, every rhyme and every tune. Just remember the truth of Jesus' love when all is said and done.
Please stand. Come on. I don't say this in a light way. Whether you're one of these young ones that are sitting here, life is short. The Bible says our life is a vapor. Tomorrow I turn 56. I don't feel 56. I feel like 10, or maybe a little older than that. But I blink. I mean, you young ones, you're going to blink before you know it. Stephen, you're young. You're going to blink, buddy. And all that hair you have is going to be gone. You're still going to be good looking, but that's okay. But what a better life than to live in such a way, every moment, young and old, that we live for His glory and we make a difference. And when we're doing that, you'll never be happier than when you're living for Him. At the end of Jude, it says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.